bi-week installment of the Shy Bears podcast. This is Brad.
And this is Greg.
And we're here to talk about, well, nothing that really happened this week. It was a pretty quiet week. Recap the season so far. Nice halfway point. We actually have a good bye week in the middle of the season. So, we'll talk about where we've been and what's coming up.
Yeah, and this is a good time to kind of take a step back. We don't really have a game to analyze. We can just kind of look at the season as a whole. We're about halfway through, and at that point, stats start to become a little more relevant. You have a little more evidence to kind of base your conclusions on, that kind of thing. So,
mm-hmm. And again, if you want to use Lovie Smith, we're 2/4 of the way through the season. So,
yes.
Those are halfway through, and we can see where we go up from here. And, it's just a nice chance to relax and see what's going on and see the other teams in the league, too. Just to mention again that you can find us on shycitysports.com. Hopefully that'll be up if it works again.
Big shout out to them. Excellent. They host us, and then they also just have excellent sports coverage of all the Chicago teams, as well as some of the college teams around. So it's a really good place. I really enjoy it.
Yeah. How are you feeling about the Illini now?
a lot less good than I was when they were undefeated. I'm really frustrated. Last weekend they lost on
field goal.
Yeah, they were kicking a field goal to tie it. Literally the nation's most accurate kicker. He was statistically the most accurate kicker in the nation, and it hit the upright and bounced off, and I proceeded to get very, very drunk. So
it bounced? I thought you just missed.
No, it hit the upright and it bounced off. So I was very upset.
The only video I saw was of all the Penn State students running into the end zone to be a seething mass of white and blue, and oh my god.
Yes, it was very frustrating.
You almost feel like a Northwestern fan.
Yeah, basically. No, it was double depressing because the Illini I lost, and then I didn't have the Bears on Sunday to pick me up, so I just had to sit there.
Yeah, you had to hope that Tim Tebow would pull a miracle, and
which he definitely did not. So
it was a horrible week for games. This was not good this past week.
It was. I agree. I mean, even the primetime games were pretty crappy. I mean, Cowboys-Eagles could have been a good game, but then the Cowboys just kind of rolled over and died. And the same with Chargers-Chiefs. It was an exciting game, but I wouldn't call it a good game. I don't know. Did you watch it?
I watched bits and pieces of it. I paid a little bit of attention. Not too much, just because I didn't really care.
It was just so messy. So many turnovers. And, neither team deserved.
It was kind of like the second half of when I was gone when the Bears played in London and New York, and I was at the Jets game. That's how the second half of the game went for the Chargers, was turnovers and just sloppy. So it's like they've done that now for a week and a half, and normally they do that early.
I was looking at them as a definite loss on our schedule originally, but they're looking a lot more beatable in the past couple weeks, so maybe.
Is a road game for them too, but it is a 3:15 game, so. Yeah. That helps them out, but
true.
Let's talk about how the season's gone so far. We're 4-3. Mm-hmm. People will say that we have the same record as last season at this point. How do you think things have gone so far for the team overall?
That's a good question. I think we've done worse than I expected after the Atlanta game, but better than I expected before the season, if that makes sense. You know, we had the big win against Atlanta, and I thought we would beat the Saints. I thought, we would make a run at the Packers. I thought we would easily beat the Lions, but then we lost players to injury, and we look like crap. But we are 4-3, like you said, same as last year. But it's really debatable whether we're a better team or a worse team than last year, because you have the same record. But last year we had worse losses, like the Seahawks and the Redskins. But this year you've already lost two divisional games. And last year we had won one. So we were, we had a lead in the division race that we didn't relinquish all year. Whereas this year it's going to be hard to catch up.
Probably. Yeah, and it's nice to compare the record to say we're on pace. But the records at this point of the season don't. I mean, they matter, but they don't matter in everything overall, just because, those divisional matchups are what are going to get you into the playoffs. you know, you can't count on a wild card for us, because the wild card could come, hell, both of them could come out of the East. They're sure as hell not coming out of the West. One might come out of the South. You'd be lucky if you get one in the North. So, I mean, you can't count on the wild card, and you have to leapfrog the Lions to do that. And,
yes.
You know, you want to say we're 4-3. Well, 4-3 last year, we were maybe in second place last year at this point, because the Lions were not that good. Vikings were awful. It really was only the Packers, and I think the Packers were about the same record at that point as well.
And we had the win over them, so we had the head-to-head.
Yeah, so it's a lot different now, because that Packers team is a lot scarier now.
They're not going to give up the huge lead they have to either us or the delusional Lions fans who think they can win the division. you know, the Packers are very, you know, we were joking about this before we started recording the show, but there's a post on our NFL right now that is who's the most underrated team currently. And somebody actually posted the Packers because they might be the third or fourth best team of all time. And no one is talking about that. And I think that's a little ridiculous, but they are a very, very good team.
Well, I mean, if they were the Patriots of 2007 again, then everyone would be all over it and you know, jumping all over that team and saying, this team's great, this team's amazing. But it's the Packers. I mean, there's a lot of other things taking attention away, like the Lions. That's understandable. The Lions, for the first time in 15, 16 years, are good. And
we wouldn't want to waste time talking about the Packers when we could talk about Tim Tebow. So, you know, it's understandable that they're kind of getting ignored.
God, you know, it frustrates me how much it's very obvious that ESPN has a agenda with him. Because it's like they inject him in every show. But
I just got paid to mention him right here to bring him up. So I'm pretty excited about that.
You know, they've exceeded my expectations where they'd be at this point, because I think I had them at 3-4, maybe 2-5. So, you know, they're exceeding my expectations, but I just don't know if, you know, it's we're not the same team as last year, and the other teams have improved. So, you know, it's almost like we stayed in place while everyone else, you know, geared it up and got moving. What do you think the weak point has been so far for this team, or what weak points have been existent on this team so far?
I think I'm not going to have anything revolutionary that any of you guys listening don't know. I mean, obviously, the play calling is a huge problem on offense. You know, the Bucs game, we had a huge lead in that game, and we almost lost it because the play calling was so god-awful. And so, you know, one reason for optimism we do have is that, you know, the bye week was the point the season last year when we really turned around the play calling and committed to the run game and the short drops. And so hopefully that going forward, plus the return of Gabe Creamy and Errol Bennett, will help things on that side. But clearly a big weakness there. And then the other one, you know, I have to say, sort of shockingly and sort of surprisingly, the defense. You know, they're usually very reliable, very good, but this year, not so hot. You know, we're only ranked 13th in scoring defense, which for a Bears team is much lower than we'd like to be. But I don't know. What do you think?
You know, I think the offense has had its moments where they've been bad, especially that offensive line again. And, you know, hopefully that'll improve with Creamy. But I've been seeing that they may not want to put Creamy back in because of the line could actually be gelling a bit for the season, which, you know, I don't know, maybe give it a game or two, see what happens.
I agree.
See where the season goes. Because if you lose two more games and the Lions and the Packers don't, it gets a lot harder.
You're very far behind, yeah.
Yeah. So then at that point, you know, say screw the jelly into the offensive line, put in Creamy because he needs the experience. And if his knee's 100%, do it. Wide receivers have been bad again.
Very disappointing. Very disappointing.
You know, Roy Williams is not... not good.
You had a lot of breakout potential from our wide receiving group, and you had two people who you could count on to catch things reliably. They were Errol Bennett and Greg Olsen, and one got traded and one has been out since like the second half of the Saints game. So there's no one when Jay throws the ball, I'm like, oh good, he's gonna catch this every time. I'm like, oh shit, I hope he catches this.
Yeah, exactly. You know, defense, I mean, linebacker, Urlacher looks like he's lost a step and he's not playing as well, but that could be the lockout. So it's one of those off years for him again, but we're going to see those more often where it's like almost like a roller coaster with him. One year's good, one year's bad. Lance Briggs hasn't lived up to one in the new contract. The safeties have been awful. And did you see where Chris Harris ended up?
Yes, yes. The Lions, of course, signed Chris Harris.
The Lions.
I don't know if they were not watching their own game tape because he directly was responsible for both of their like big touchdowns against us. But
the whatever. Key, though, is that you got someone from within the division. And
yeah,
now
definitely.
You've got someone there who felt disrespected by the Bears and will very likely talk.
Oh, yeah.
And share
and
the playbook.
So not only do they have inside information on our schemes, but they have an entire bye week to be game planning. So,
mm-hmm. And so like, they he will talk about the defensive schemes and whatever he knows about the offense. He will.
Oh yeah,
without
definitely.
A doubt.
That's the hidden advantage of having Mike Martz as your offensive coordinator is that he's so crazy and so stupidly inconsistent that even Chris Harris won't be able to help him prepare for the offensive game plan because it will be something weird like have Gabe Kareemi take a 7-step drop and then run the option and pitch it to Jay Cutler. Like, I don't even know what they'll do. But
do you think that if we don't make the playoffs that March comes back?
I think he was on a 2-year contract originally, correct?
I thought he was
I
on
don't
a,
know.
You're right, he may have been on a 2-year because no one was gonna come for the 1 year that Lovey could have been here. I think if they don't make the playoffs that he's gone.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, Lovey really likes him. They've kind of got their like old friends reunion club and the Bears coaching staff right now, but I mean,
it's all
need,
it's ever
if we
been.
Miss the playoffs, we will need some sort of scapegoat. And now, it was Ron Turner last time we had a bad season, so maybe it'll be Mike Martz.
I would fully endorse firing Lovey, but you know that's
yeah.
me because one year of getting to the Super Bowl, 2-3 years winning the division, scattered. Not a great resume.
You haven't shown an ability to build consistent success, and a lot of it has been due to poor personnel decisions. And if that doesn't fall on like the heads of the general manager and the head coach, then I don't know like who possibly could bear responsibility.
Yeah, because we've had awkward benchings and weird, you know, weird decisions and who's
Chris
playing.
Harris,
not
just the epitome of everything that is wrong with
and
front office.
Johnny Knox, because Johnny Knox should be playing.
Oh yeah, yeah, good point. Forgot all about that fiasco.
And Bench, you know, bringing in people who are on huge contracts for no reason. It's
yeah. Somebody suggested that here's another weak point. There's still no contract extension for Matt Forte, and I understand what they're doing. You know, they're projecting he probably only has like, you know, 2 years of durability left in him because he's a running back. So let's just franchise tag him for both of those. But it's still like frustrating to see a player who's playing very well for the team on very little money like not get any money, and it's worse to see how like it turns the, you know, the locker room against the management.
Exactly. Yeah, it's definitely been a bad that's been a bad mark on this season. Yeah. Just because he should you should do it out of respect for him, and
yeah.
they're running them into the ground almost on purpose. It seems because he's gonna have the ball more than anyone else this year. He's gonna run more. He's gonna catch passes more than anyone else, and it's not gonna do well for him. And you know what? They're doing it to be cheap. This is
oh,
Bears
definitely.
Have always been notoriously cheap, and it's them being cheap again.
Yeah, agreed.
So strong points for the season. I mean, there have to be some.
Yes. Well. We do kind of have to, I mean, the defensive line has been about as good as we expected them to be. And you know, I would even say once we started to embrace the run and not the 7-step drop, the offense has been, I don't know if strong is the right word, but surprisingly good. I don't know. The Bears rank 13th in scoring offense right now, which all last year we were in the bottom third of the league.
That's good. That's pretty good.
Yeah, and then, you know, I was like, okay, well, maybe we've just played bad defenses. So I looked it up, and the average defense The average scoring defense of all the opponents we've played has been 22.9 points, and we're averaging 24.3 points. So we're even scoring like slightly more than we should be according to the defenses we played.
And that's all because of two people for the most part.
Yes, Matt Forte and Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler.
Which, you know, people want to criticize Cutler all they want for anything. But he's carrying this offense with Matt Forte. If without them, the offense would be awful. I mean,
Oh, yeah. If anyone wants to have that stupid, like, who won the Cutler-Orton trade argument, you stick Orton on this team, and they might not have won a game yet. Like, they're very bad.
I feel bad for Kyle Orton.
Yeah, me too.
He
All
should
his
be
bridesmaid,
starting.
Never a bride.
Mm-hmm. He should be starting. He would be a mid-level starter. If he was in Miami, Miami wouldn't be in the situation they're in.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Where could he go?
you would think if the Broncos are really committed to Tebow, like I guess the trade deadline's over, maybe during the offseason.
No, he's a free agent. Out of. You know where I could see him going?
Where?
Minnesota.
I was going to say that because they just really like washed up old quarterbacks. They just won't start.
He's not even 30 yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's unfair to Kyle.
And Christian Ponder's not going to be any good.
Yeah, he's
been
okay so far.
And they've won two games, so they're not going to get luck.
Yeah.
Maybe Seattle.
Seattle could use him. Campbell's probably just straight up done, so maybe the Raiders could use him. That would be kind of fun, Kyle Orton on the Raiders. He's just, when I think Kyle Orton, I definitely don't think Raiders.
Jacksonville?
That's true. Blaine Gabbert sucks.
Oh, Los Angeles.
good qualification.
Yeah, that's probably it. Maybe Washington. God, can you imagine him following up Rex Grossman for the second time?
Yeah, that would be good.
All right. What other strong points do we have? I mean, yeah, the defensive line's been good. The running back, obviously, has been great. Cutler's been there. I mean, there's has not been too much else. I mean, the special teams have been the special teams. It's what we expect.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, outside of it, you've got a winning record at this point when it could have gone a lot worse because he could have lost the Falcons. And we
could have lost the Bucks game.
Yeah.
Heck, could have lost the Panthers game. We were losing that one at various points.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's Minnesota. Well, it's Minnesota. So, you know, it could have been a lot worse.
Probably lost that one, no matter how hard we tried.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, individual players that have been strong points, I mean, I think we hit on the two most obvious, Cutler and Forte. No, I don't know that anyone else has been. Pretty much everyone else has been like a net wash. Like they've either done what they've supposed to or they've done good things, but enough bad things that it kind of cancels it out. Except for maybe like Julius Peppers or Urlacher or actually, I can't even think of anyone else. Conte, the one game he played in, he wasn't a disaster.
Yeah.
That's really all I got. I'm grasping at straws.
Yeah,
here.
Earl Bennett, the one game that he's been in.
Again, he was good in that one game that he made.
There are actually not that many strong points for the season. I thought there would be more, but
no,
it's hard.
No,
it's
not.
The ones that are there are obvious. There's not any hidden ones.
The strong point is that we are 4-3, and that if the season ended today, we would sneak in to the sixth seed of the playoffs, and so we're not dead yet. I guess that's the strong point. And if we, you know, I've been looking at the schedule and like comparing the schedules, and if we win this game against the Eagles and if we win the game against the Lions the following week, we're like right back in the race. So
yeah, and you also look on the plus side that like Detroit and Green Bay both have at least four more they each have four more divisional games, so that could be that could be rough, and Green Bay here still has to play at the Chargers this coming.
Yeah. Yes, and I think the biggest takeaway is, and understand that I'm not comparing us to last year's Packers team when I say this, but like them, you know, they were a team that were they were very talented, but they lost a couple players early on, and they had a lot of early struggles as they were trying to figure out like how to run their offense without those players, what they could do on defense, and they lost some games that they shouldn't have, and then they made a run at the end of the year. So we're certainly capable of that, I think.
I'm looking at the Packers Pro Football Reference page for the season, and I'm looking at Aaron Rodgers' stats, and oh my god. 72% completion percentage. He's already thrown for 2,300 yards, almost 2,400, 20 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Yard per average is 9.9. His quarterback rating for the season is 126.
Oh, Jesus. Somebody wanted to just kill him.
I have him on one of my fantasy teams.
Yeah, me too. Dude, I have one fantasy team. Actually, the fantasy team that I have on the R Chai Bears fantasy league, my two quarterbacks are Stafford and Rodgers.
That's not a bad.
I don't know what that says about me as a Bears fan, but those are the two I got.
Oh, when I drafted him and he was available, I was like, yes, this is gonna work great.
Oh yeah, definitely. No, he's very, very good.
All right, so let's talk about the upcoming games. And we got 8 more games left, and 5 of those are road games. 9 games left. Yeah, 9 games left. 5 of those are road. I can't count. Start out this week against the Eagles, who just destroyed the Cowboys. Then we play the Lions at home, play the Chargers at home, go to the Raiders. Chiefs come here. Broncos at the Broncos.
That'll be fun. That'll be really looking forward to that.
Seahawks come here. And then we have 2 road games to finish out at the Packers and at Minnesota.
Ooh.
God, that Minnesota game just sounds even worse now because it's the last game of the season. And if it comes down to that.
It's on New Year's, too. So could ruin all of 2012. And you know what? Our divisional foes could ruin Christmas and New Year's Day this year. So hopefully that won't happen.
My God. Bears at Packers, the night game on the 25th.
Seriously, that might ruin my Christmas.
The best thing about that is that will never get flexed out.
That's true.
So, you know, it'll be a great night.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
How do you think this upcoming... we'll talk about that in a little bit, actually. How do you think this plays out for them for the rest of the season?
Well, I think these next 2 games, and really I would say the next 3, is probably the most crucial stretch against some of the teams we'll be the most competitive against. And you know, I think anything less than 2-1, and it's probably goodbye playoff chances, unless like the Falcons and the Bucks and like the some NFC East team, unless
Giants,
they really stumble. Yeah. The Giants are going to fall hard, just like they did last year.
You know, these first 2 games right out of the bat are really, really key.
Very hard. Yeah,
and they're both going to be tough.
And they should be really, really fun. I'm going to enjoy them. But they're also like crucial games. Now, as far as our general second half schedule goes, a lot of people have been saying, including myself, that the second half schedule is easier than the first half. And a lot of people have also been disagreeing with that and saying, well, is it really? Like, I can't tell. So I just wanted to briefly make my case with some statistics and just like about the quality of teams we'll be playing.
Mm-hmm.
So the average scoring defense of all the opponents that we played in the first half of the schedule was 22.9 points. And then the average scoring defense of all our remaining opponents is 23.2 points. So that's a very, very small difference. So that probably doesn't mean anything. So the defenses will remain about the same as the defenses we played. And the average scoring offense of our opponents so far has been 26 points per game. And the average scoring offense of all the remaining opponents is 21.5. So that's a little more significant. It's still only like 3.5 points, but no, 4.5 points. I added wrong, but so it does get a little easier.
Yeah, I mean, you have to factor in to those low scorers, you know, low offensive production for these teams like Seahawks, Broncos, Chiefs,
and
Raiders.
We play 5. We've played so far like 3 of the bottom 10 defenses, and we play 5 in the second half. So there should be some fairly easy wins coming.
Yeah, I mean, I hope. I mean, those four straight AFC West games, because that makes no sense to me at all. they're gonna really throw everything for a loop, I think, because you can either win three of them, split them, or lose three of them, depending on how the Chargers, the Raiders, and the Chiefs show up. Because the Broncos are the Broncos, and
And even with the Raiders, you just don't know who will be the quarterback then. You know, they signed Palmer, or no, they traded for Palmer. They signed Hushmanzada. You just have no idea what.
Yeah, I just found that out, that they signed Hushmanzada. I figured that was going to happen because they were training together. But, like, my God, why? Al Davis dies and the team goes into further hell. which is crazy to think, because he had driven them down so hard.
Right,
but
you'd think they'd have nowhere to go but up.
But they want to keep kicking themselves. And, you know, those four AFC West games are definitely a wild card, but they may not matter depending on these first two games, because if you lose to the Eagles this coming week, that's going to really hurt your chances for the wild card. Because then you've lost the game to them. If it comes down to that tiebreaker, you're done. And if you lose to the Lions, regardless of what the week was before, if you lose the Lions, you've now just lost three divisional games. And 3-3 is not going to win the division, and you'll be fighting for a wild card.
At that point, your only hope really is that the Giants or the Eagles choke hard, and that the competition is between us and the Bucks and the Falcons, because we have tiebreakers over both of them.
And we know the Giants have a tendency to fall off.
They really do.
The Eagles don't. The Eagles pick it up.
The Eagles are on the upswing.
It'll be interesting to see how the Lions, get through the second half of the season and how they feel. Because they're inexperienced. They don't know what this is like. These next 2 weeks, that's really it for us. If we lose one or the other, it's just a whole lot harder overall.
Yeah, agreed.
And then you got to dread it out and get through the AFC West. I'm still looking. I don't know. I know why they scheduled it, because if you had to push back because of the lockout going long, you just knock out those 4 weeks and move everything down. I get it. But it just looks so stupid.
Yeah, no, I agree. I didn't even notice that until you pointed it out, that it was just those in a row. But it is what it is. And it might come after the Eagles and the Lions game, and probably the Chargers game. It might come as a bit of a relief.
Yeah.
Just to have a couple should wins in a row.
Yeah, the Broncos game should be a win unless they decide to actually put in a quarterback.
Yeah, even then, it's probably still
a win. Or, stop letting their wide receivers go. That's amazing how that team's just falling apart.
Yeah. But you never know, though, because they will be, Jay Cutler might actually get shot that game. Like, there might be a Denver fan with a sniper rifle, looking for vengeance.
God, that's right. That is at Denver. That's his first time back, too. Ooh.
Well, he went back during the preseason last year. But
you're right, but this is the first regular season.
This is the first regular season game, so it'll be intense. Looking forward to it. I have a friend who's a huge Denver fan. Even though they grew up in Florida, and the only place besides Florida they've lived is Chicago, they're a Broncos fan. So I don't know.
Is that because of Elway? That's because of Elway.
It's because of Elway, yeah.
Which, you know, I liked the Broncos during the 90s, too, because of Elway. I always liked that.
Well, yeah, who didn't? There wasn't much to root for the Bears in the 90s either, so.
There hasn't been much for the Bears to root in the 2000s either.
Yeah, that's also true. But
it's been, three good years. That is my basis for how I feel as a Bears fan.
For your pessimism.
Because I missed the damn championship by a year. From 90, 91 to now, 4 or 5 times in the playoffs. I mean, majority of the time has been the Dave Wansed era.
Oh, God.
And then the third of that is Dick Duran. And so it's just been awful. Because if you grew up watching the Dave Wansed teams and you hated it, You knew what each week was going to be like.
Oh, no, yeah. They were a special kind of both bad and boring. At least, like, the Broncos are terrible, but they're not boring because you never know, like, how badly is it going to go? What's going to happen this week? But
yeah, I mean, that was the whole issue with those Bears teams, that they could stay in games. And it's just like, I'll stop getting my hopes up.
Yeah.
I just want you to lose. What do you think their record's going to be for the second half and for the overall season?
The homer in me is coming out as I'm looking at the schedule. 8-1? No, not really. I'm going to go. There are 9 games left. I'm seeing lose at Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 losses out of Eagles, Lions, Chargers, and Kansas City. So that's what? That's 6-3, and then final record 10-6.
Okay.
What about you?
You know, I thought about it before, and I'm looking at it again, and I'm trying to remember what I actually had. I think they'll lose to the Packers again.
Yeah.
Knowing that the Eagles turn it on for the second half, I think we'll lose this upcoming week. And it's Monday night. We know how Monday nights go for the Bears.
6-2 on Monday Night Football under Lovie Smith. Just really? Saying. Yeah, I looked it up the other day. So,
what's our?
It was,
we haven't played well against the Eagles.
Terrible. Lovie is, I don't know. He's 4-1 against Vic, though. I know that. Or no, maybe it's 4-1 against the Eagles and like 3-0 against Vic. I don't know. All the history is on our side, but the Eagles are a very dangerous team this year. So,
let me look here. I got them going 5-4 in the second half, which would get them to 9-7.
Do you think they make the playoffs with that record?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Because
either.
It's going to take double-digit wins.
Yeah, I agree. It's a tough conference this year and a tougher division. So.
It's definitely looking like the NFC is the conference this year. The AFC is kind of down this year.
The AFC is a mess. But the NFC is very tough. Lots of good teams.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to take double-digit wins because of the East and because of Detroit. As much as I hate to say that. And you know that Niners are locked in. You could say they clinched it now.
Definitely. Their division, the rest of their division is so bad that, you know, there's just no chance that they could lose.
I feel bad for them because if the Packers weren't as good as they were, they would be the team to beat in the NFC.
Yeah. So as far as playoff hopes goes, fellow Bears fan, what you want to be rooting for is you want to root for the Saints to win their division because they have a tiebreaker over us, so we don't want them in wild card contention. And then if we lose to the Eagles, you want to root for the Eagles, but otherwise you want to root for the Giants or Cowboys, which probably neither of them are beating the Eagles. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I can see the Giants beating the Eagles.
Maybe.
Because Eli's actually playing like a quarterback.
He's playing very well this year, yeah.
Which is surprising. But maybe he's got to keep the family name going.
That's true.
Or before his neck gives out. Like his brothers. So this upcoming game, we've talked about it a little bit. But the Eagles they play well better. They play much better in the second half of the season. Michael Vick, you know, looks like he's not as dinged up as he was before.
Yeah, definitely. Which is a huge thing.
The defense is coming together. Namdi's actually figured out how to play on that defense.
Yeah.
I mean, when you make Dallas look that bad, because Dallas, I mean, isn't a bad team, but they're not a good team, and they made them look like a bad team. So it's going to be a tough game. Bears-Eagles usually is.
Agreed. Yeah, both sides play. You know, they just have – their just offense is so explosive. You got LeSean McCoy. You've got Michael Vick. You've got DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin. Like, their defense does not really scare me. I mean, their linebackers are pretty bad. Obviously, they have good
secondary.
Corners, yeah.
That secondary is ridiculous.
Our wide receivers are so bad. It's like everyone has a championship caliber secondary against us. So
Yeah, but with that secondary, when you've got the safeties
in some twisted way,
when you have the corners and safeties stacked as well as they do, where they've got people on the bench who should be starting, it's ridiculous. You know, it's just gonna they're gonna have to grind it out. You're gonna have to run the ball, and not lean on the run as much because you know there's no way that you're gonna. I mean, lean on the pass because there's no way that you're gonna be able to pass the ball on the on the Eagles with those corners and those safeties. The line isn't anything too special. So,
and then we do have Earl Bennett making his return. So that should help in the passing game in that. He's usually, you know, he's often a hot read on on plays. So that should help us get the ball out quickly, take less sacks, move a little, keep the ball moving a little bit, help us convert third downs.
If you establish the run, you'll be able to get back in there behind the linebackers between the safeties. Yeah, and be able to get 7, 8, 9 yards and be okay. And, you know, he coming back would probably take a little bit of the hits off of Forte. Going out over the middle, I would hope. Who knows? They may want to have Forte get hit as much as they want.
That's true.
It all depends on how well they can contain Michael Vick, too.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. And historically, we have done a good job doing that. And when you have, like, someone as athletic as Julius Peppers.
And that offensive line's nothing too great for Philly. Yeah. So
I think, you know, I think as far as the run game goes, both defending it and doing it, we have the advantage. But I would say the passing game, both defending it and doing it on offense, they have the advantage. And then we have the special teams advantage, obviously, so.
So, what do you think they'll? What do you think the record? What do you think the outcome of the game will be?
I'm gonna go with 26-20 Bears.
I'm gonna go 27-17 Eagles. I don't think that the Bears are gonna win this game. The link's a hard place to play.
That's true. That's true.
You know, they probably will get pelted with things.
batteries, snowballs.
If it snows, if the snow stays.
Yeah.
It's just not. I don't think this is going to be a good game for them. But, you know, if the Eagles pick it up and get to the division, then it doesn't hurt as much. I mean, the Bears are. They don't have control over their own destiny very much right now. It's scary.
No. But win two games and they could. So.
Win at least one of these first two and you've got a little bit more control.
Yeah, you've got a lot of life left in you. There's plenty of season left, so just execute. And, you know, the offensive line has been improving. The pass and run balance has been improving.
The nice thing is that it's two clear paths, and they could decide to pick whichever one they want. You know, they could go and say, we're going to focus on these, you know, focus on the winning the conference games so we can push for the wild card versus winning the division, which is going to be a lot harder.
Yeah, definitely a lot harder.
And so if you at least, you know, even if you, let's go back here. I went off the schedule. if you win, if you win two of your three division games left and you win against the Eagles and you win against the Seahawks, so that's four games. You win those four games, you end up with eight wins. You just have to split the AFC West block. And you might end up okay.
Yeah, I agree. There's definitely, I think, a very realistic shot at the Bears returning to the playoffs. But it requires, you know, doing very well in these next two games. And then
it sets which path you take.
Yeah,
definitely
exactly.
Does. Because if you win, and it's really not even this upcoming week, it's next week. Because if you win this week, then you still don't know what to do. Because if you beat the Lions, then you know that you can go for the division. Whereas if you lose the Lions, you got to go for the wild card. That's really your only choice.
Yep.
Oh, it's frustrating.
Yeah, we'll have a much better, I think, grasp of what fate holds for the 2011 Chicago Bears after these next 2 weeks.
Yeah, it definitely clears up.
We hope. I hope for two wins. I think probably 1-1, but it's also possible we lose both and give up on the season. So
yeah, because if you lose both, then it's done.
Then you're
pretty
it'll
be a 4-5. You essentially have to win out the rest of the season.
Yeah, which is not gonna happen. So yeah.
All right. Do you have anything else?
I do not.
All right. Well, I think this was actually a pretty good show for the bye week.
Yeah, I think so.
I had a lot to say, and it was kind of nice. But hopefully come back and talk about a Bears win.
Indeed, hopefully.
Thanks for listening.
We will see you guys in the game thread on Monday night, and bear down.